flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
To a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast, and we are back in studio.
Yeah,
it's so good to be back in the red curtains.
Yeah,
so good.
Well, a sign behind us.
Where are we? No one knows.
Wait, in a basement somewhere. Nice.
Well, you can hear who I have on the podcast this week. I am Sakisa, aka the head of the table, as always. And this week, I'm joined by main event Mark Cram.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be back.
And one of half of the fluffy boys, Mr. Danny Scott.
Hello, bonjour. I can see your face. You can see mine if you're watching on YouTube. Look at that.
You're such an idiot.
That's a little plug for the YouTube, isn't it?
Little plug for you. Yeah, if you do like us and like what we do, please do like and subscribe on this podcast. Please do tell your friends to give us a little 5-star review on Spotify. That will help us out so much. As well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Wrestle Club UK Podcast.
And send us money.
Okay.
Yeah, money.
You don't want to sponsor us?
I mean, WrestleMania is next year, so if you would like to see us go, we need some money.
If a big company wants to sponsor us, I think Manscaped do a lot, don't they? Should we just say a few brands just in case, and then like give them a little... I like Doritos. I like Manscaped. Huel's all right, I think.
Eggs? Or like
eggs. We like eggs.
Are we sponsored by eggs?
Eggs and milk.
Eggs and milk. Yeah. That's a broad market. Yeah, Everyone uses that.
So listen, if you're any of those bread. And you want to give us money, we'll put it in WrestleMania pop bread. We'll take bread. Literal bread.
I will literally shill any product. I have no moral compass. I don't care what they're linked to.
Shit. I don't care about their background. If you get us to WrestleMania, yes, please. Yes, please. We'll put it in a little nice little Monzo saving pot. Monzo, if you want to sponsor us as well. Clear my overdraft.
Yeah.
That'd be okay. Nice.
Well,
any brands you want to shout out as a keyser, in case?
I was going to say it's a very obvious one. It's Prime, isn't it?
Oh, Prime.
Prime,
oh,
yeah. I saw that you posted a little throwback picture with you and KS.
KSI, yeah, me
oh,
and
you
KSI.
Mean the drink?
The drink Prime.
Yeah, what do you think I meant?
Amazon Prime.
Oh, no.
Prime. They've got a lot of money.
They've got a lot of money, they can sponsor us.
They've got like Haaland on their books and that. They've got loads of people.
I'm just saying, KSI. Really wrestling.
And Logan Paul's a wrestler, so it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Actually, it makes complete sense. And Prime actually started messaging me on Instagram after that post, so if you're watching, can you just hurry up?
Should we get Logan Paul on the pod?
Oh, mate.
Can we get Logan on the pod?
Yeah, to be fair, I asked him for free Prime and they said no. But they were like, we can't give out. But if I say, what about if Logan wants to come on a Wrestle Club? I should have done it. I didn't even think about it.
Still waiting for the Paul Heyman response, guys.
You can do it right now.
I'll do it right now.
Yeah, still waiting for the Paul Heyman response.
I think you're going to be waiting for
any day now.
I think you are going to be waiting for a while.
I think he is. I'm going to message Prime again.
Yeah, message Prime. Well, this week.
Also, drink Prime, guys. Electrolytes and all that good stuff.
Or don't. Whatever.
unless they sponsor, then do. If they don't sponsor us, drink Monster.
Maybe we should just have Prime on our podcast, just on the show.
I've never had Prime. Is it nice?
So we should move
on. It's actually quite nice.
That's the sponsorship gone. I teed you up then. She's like, it's great.
No, it is great. I've had several flavours.
Sending a selfie to Prime.
What's your favourite flavour?
I like the tropical. I think it's the red drink. It's the red covering. Mm. It's a tropical one.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, like it's nice.
The green one is like lemon and lime. That's all right.
I'm not really a big fan of lemon and lime ones, though, babe.
The YouTubers always dress up as the blue one when they get put through tables.
That's true. That's a blue raspberry, I do believe.
KSI went through a table.
I'm not gonna lie, we're actually doing a lot of promo for Prime.
I'll tell you what,
right,
we'll put Danny through a table if you come and sponsor us.
Mike Bird will put me through a table dressed as a Prime bottle. Yeah. I've got zero respect. I will do anything.
Also, I forgot to mention this the other day on the podcast. Shout out Mike Bird for turning up at Progress Wrestling. You lot missed it. He had his...
I messaged him on Instagram about
that. Yeah, I was like, me and Richard were watching and he had turned up at the start. And we were like, oh, what are you doing here? And it's just like, yeah, I just came to watch a show, innit? Yeah. And then like in the second section, there was a surprise person who was meant to be... Because the original wrestler was stuck on a plane. So they were like, we've got a new person coming out, blah, blah, blah. And it was Mike Bird.
Yes,
and it was
Mike.
Yeah, and he's shaving his face. And I was like, he's got this little wispy moustache.
Oh, has he? He's got his moustache. You know what it is? I another shout out to Mike, but just purely because he replies to every single one of my reels that I post on Instagram. And he's just like, my guy. And I love him.
He's the best.
He replies to mine. Like, I made a joke about running my own wrestling company. And he very sweetly actually gave proper advice. And I didn't have the heart to say, I'm not actually going to do this.
We get him back on the podcast. We do love him.
Yeah, we need a. I mean, I think even he said to us at Restival that he was like, that first episode, I just waffled so much. I don't think we got through anything. I went, you know what, Mike? You're not wrong. I think you had far too much fun. We had a good laugh. He stood up and shouted in the camera quite a lot about anyone who gave us hate comments, even though we don't even get that many. And he was like, you do that again. I was like, part two.
Mike Bird's my second favourite guest we've had on the podcast.
Oh,
it's your first Jerry Bakewell.
Oh, Jerry Bakewell.
Jerry Bakewell.
I know he's
Jerry Bakewell. Just it was such a fun episode for an hour.
I love it. Mate. That was my favorite episode to ever listen to as well.
We said nothing.
Yeah. I just laughed.
I love her. Also, normally other podcasts don't ever like rate their favorite guests. We've just gone one and two straight away. We don't give a shit. We're like, no, we'll rate you.
This week, ladies and gentlemen, we have got a special episode where we will be talking about Vince McMahon's documentary on Netflix called Mr. McMahon. But before we do that, we do have a pay-per-view in WWE coming up, which is Bad Blood. And I'm just going to run down some of the matches. We're going to do this very quickly because we are going to focus mostly on the documentary this week. And let me know your thoughts and feelings about the results. Well, I'm going to talk about the one I don't really care about most. since we are having that vibe today.
We woke up and chose violence today.
What a bullshit match do we have to talk about now? Let's do this.
We're in a studio together. We've egged each other on. Yeah.
We're back in. It is for the WWE Women's Championship match.
Oh,
which
you hate women's wrestling. We forgot.
Yeah. Which is Nia Jax versus Bayley.
Yeah, fair play.
Cool. I mean, next I assume match. Nia's keeping the belt on. There's going to be a cash in by Tiff, right?
Oh, I hope so. That's the only way I'm going to care. Yeah. Tiffy time.
If Tiffy times happens, I will be very happy. But yeah. I don't think it will happen at this particular show.
And I will say now, like, I know I do shit on Nia Jax quite a lot, but I mean, I'm glad she's had her moment for a bit. She's been all right. She's not been as bad as I thought. Still a bit boring. But, like, fair play. Right? It's been all right. But I think it's Tiffy time now, if I'm honest.
Mm. And Bayley just deserves a little bit of a break, doesn't she now? She's been carrying the women's division on her back for quite a while. Yeah.
Give that woman a break.
I feel like she's in that mode of, like, Moxley was an AEW. They kept saying he was going to take a break, but then people like kept getting fired or leaving. So he just never got to take a break. Bailey's that for.
Or now he's just suffocating people with bags.
Hell yeah, I love what he's doing.
That's a don't try this at home, isn't it?
That's a really don't try this at home moment. Next up, we have Damian Priest versus Finn Balor.
Yeah,
a little bit of a blood feud, like it.
I'm excited for it.
I imagine Priest. Just imagine going to annihilate Balor here.
I hope not, though. You know,
I think he'll beat him.
I reckon Balor's going to do it.
But you reckon nefariously?
No, it won't be. It won't be legit. But I want him to win. I want it to be quite a dominant one, and then Balor just. I don't know. I'd like to see it happen, though.
The thing is, I always want Balor to be pushed more, but the thing is, they are pushing Priest.
They are pushing Priest.
Yeah. And rightly so, because Priest, I'll tell you what, because I was not a Damian Priest fan, but the moment he stepped up and went into this babyface role, he has got suddenly just won everybody.
He's a champion as well. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed his run.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed his run.
It was the good length as well. It didn't need to go too long.
Yep.
I want good things for both men. I just want them both to be happy.
Just two happy boys, please.
But I want JD McDonough to suffer.
I think you forget. I think we all kind of forget how long Finn Balor has been in the company in general.
He debuted as the mystery tag team partner of Hideo Itami in NXT in 2000 and I believe 15.
So we're talking like nearly 10 years.
We don't forget, actually.
Yeah, nearly 10 years. But in comparison with Damian Priest, I feel like Finn Balor hasn't really got the hype or the spot that he should have got probably like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
The problem is with Finn is he is quite small, which is for a start a problem. Ooh. Priest is like twice the size of Finn. Right. And Finn's not the best on the mic. He's not terrible, but he's not carry a 20-minute John Cena promo good on the mic, you know.
But Priest isn't also.
Yeah, Priest
but
isn't.
But he speaks with that deep come fuck me voice.
I feel like I see what's happening.
Do you not get that from when he does his deep voice?
No.
You're not into Priest.
No. I'm no. I understand him trying to do the Spanish thing as well. I'm kind of like, no.
This is bisexual Undertaker.
Talks in that voice.
For me, it was like, it was the whole, like, you don't know where I came from. I'm from the streets. And I was like, why are you, like, I get it. Maybe that's where you got, but you haven't mentioned it this whole time.
The whole time.
Like, why are you now from the streets and come from this, like, proper work?
You can't be a heel from the streets, can you?
Of course you can. Yeah, why not?
People give you sympathy. I slept in my car. What a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I reckon if Balor wins and it sends Priest on, like, we get another match out of it and we do, like, maybe a three. Priest comes out on top over all three, but I do want Balor to win the first, I think.
When's the demon coming out again? Are we having a demon
out
this?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Unless we get
like the demon
with bad blood.
I think the demon needs to come out at some point. We haven't seen it in, like, nearly a year.
Edge was the last time.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see what happens. Talking about this riff in terms of the Judgment Day, we then have Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley with Dirty Dom in a shark cage.
I'm so excited about this. I love this gimmick.
Yeah.
It's such a great gimmick match just to showcase like a cowardly who like just stuck up there. And you know, eventually that cage is going to get lowered down and Rhea will be standing there waiting to give him a pay and he'll somehow get away. But like, Liv retains the belt.
I think
somehow.
Liv is retaining
because Rhea doesn't. Because Rhea and Dom is the program.
Yeah,
that's what we want.
I quite like this Terror Twins thing. I don't think any of them need a title. It works.
No,
I love the little sort of breadcrumbs have already laid as well. Obviously on Raw they were like, Rhea was obviously saying, I know Dom's he's claustrophobic. He doesn't like it. And I'm there like, you're putting it all in now because we're going to get some grade A acting from Dominic Mysterio. Yeah. As soon as he's in that cage, you're like, he's going to sit down, he's going to cry. I can't wait. Like, Dominic Mysterio's going to steal the show. I can't wait.
You're thinking, we're both thinking Liv?
Liv, yeah.
We're all thinking Liv?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Liv's always on top, man.
Did we actually do predictions on the other matches? Or we should talk about them.
No, let's just talk about, we'll just talk about them. I'll go about Nia Jax versus Bayley.
I'm going to go Nia with a Tiffy cash in.
Yeah, same.
Nia with a Tiffy cash in. Damien Priest versus Finn Balor.
Priest.
Finn? Yeah, okay. Liv Morgan versus Rhea.
Liv.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
By nefarious ways.
Nefarious ways. Now, these last two matches, I'm going to say in the order that I think it should happen in terms of who should end the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns versus The Bloodline, which is Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu.
I think you're right in saying this is the way it should go, but I just can't see him not putting Roman Reigns at the end.
Roman's first pay-per-view match since WrestleMania is going on last.
Yeah, there's no
absolutely
way.
Absolutely no way.
It does sound fucking batshit that like after a Hell in a Cell, which we are going to get blood, it's going to be chaotic, and all of a sudden we have to like the OTC come out. It's like, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
We need 15 minutes to relax. We need Nia Jax after that match, actually. I need to go for a piss and chill.
The Hell in a Cell is a hard one to put on the card because if you don't main event it, then where does it go?
You say open with
because whatever goes after it is the piss break match.
Yeah.
So that's...
Do you reckon they could open with it?
They could do.
I think they should open with this.
They could. That's the other option.
Yeah, they could open with this.
I'd go Roman opening, Hell in a Cell close. Yeah. I just can't see them not putting Roman last on his first big match. Especially last with their big little build-up in the stadium stuff and all that.
I know.
That's main event, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I have already downloaded that song.
And also, like, I'm just not sure they trust CM Punk to not get hurt in the first 5 minutes of the match.
Open it.
So it's obviously Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, the friction between them as a tag team. Obviously, you do have the backstage stuff with Kevin Owens.
And Randy Orton.
More so Kevin Owens, potentially getting involved, especially if the rest of the blind comes out and gets involved in the match. Rest of the bloodline.
You definitely said blind.
I don't think you would listen to what I was saying. I think the ciders and the beer has gone to your head.
I don't think both of us misheard.
We don't share a mind.
Yeah, it's a podcast.
Well, fair play. Yeah, if the rest of the blind come in,
I reckon Roman can take on like loads of blind people.
That spear would be the easiest spear. He didn't see it coming.
I'm dodging that Superman punch. dog can bark all at once. It's not.
I hate you lot.
I did not think when we started we'd have some weird point about talking about Roman Reigns, Superman punching blind people.
I'm now picturing him spearing the dog.
Yeah. Bring out Larry, he's actually blind.
That's a fucking heel turn, isn't it? Yeah. Fucking spearing a service dog, fucking hell.
Leave Larry out of this.
Okay. Did you see the Drew McIntyre post on social media?
Yes, I did see that. Oh, that was.
Have you seen
it? About the kid? Is that, I hope you, the one who's talking about, the one who's like, oh, he's ruined my day?
No. So he,
I've got to show you that one after.
They posted the picture. You know the scene from Futurama with a dog waiting outside the pizzeria?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He posted that saying, Larry after hell.
That's fucking phenomenal. I need to show you. Ib sent it to me with a voice note, which is basically him just laughing. It was basically what. A woman took her kid to watch Raw and Drew McIntyre slapped the poster out of the kid's hand. And so she posted this like thing that her kid wrote in school. And it was like, it's really poorly written. Obviously he's a child, but like, I went to Raw, saw all these wrestlers. Drew McIntyre smacked my poster, made me really sad. My mum and dad, something. And then she tweeted, was like, please take time to read this and understand from her perspective. As a 7-year-old kid, her first Raw was tainted by this moment. And Drew replied, went, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Your kid is a stooge who can't write or spell. They will never achieve their dreams. Hope you're proud.
Drew McIntyre is the best heel in the business. Because remember a few weeks ago, we were having doubts, well, who's the heel in this, Punk or Drew? Yeah. They're both kind of, it's Drew. Drew is the heel.
Also, side note, Prime have replied with side eye emojis. So it's not off the cards, guys. It's not off the cards. So, Logan, it's come to London. Let me know.
And if just be like, even if it's not Logan, KSI, just KSI.
Anyone, they've both been on.
If you can't be able to send Logan, send Jake. He's like, Logan.
We'll take anyone.
You know what, I'll interview his dad, Greg Paul. Fuck it.
Okay. Right, who's winning Sean this Paul. Tag team match?
Sean Paul.
That'd be a great guest. Sure. That'd be my all time
guest. Shut up.
I don't think we're allowed to do a Sean Paul impression.
I did it.
I know you went for it anyway.
Just give it a lie.
I can't hear his name, but I'm saying, here comes Sean DePaul. And the Saturdays. That's what he says in that song.
You should never do that accent.
He's white though, Sean Paul.
No, he's not.
Is he not?
Oh, I'm thinking of Pitbull.
Is Pitbull white?
Yeah. No, he's Latino. He's Puerto Rican.
Bald and white, is he?
He's
not?
Puerto Rican.
I don't know.
He's Puerto Rican, bitch.
Is he?
It's Puerto Rican.
He looks like a guy from down my local pub. We're back in the studio. I've been cancelled.
Pitbull's not from anywhere because he's Mr. Worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
Including Kent.
Pitbull from Kent. Chatham Pitbull.
And from Daddy's local pub. Anyway, who's winning this tag team match?
Pitbull. Pitbull and Sean Paul. The team you didn't know you wanted.
Who's winning this tag team match?
Roman and Cody.
Roman and Cody?
You know what's so mad? I actually don't care.
Oh.
I don't think it matters. Yeah. Everyone knows we're just building to
actually care about this match, if I'm honest. Back to wrestling. I know we had a Sean Paul moment, but I don't really care about it. I think Cody Rhodes is boring me a bit. Bloodline. I kind of want to see Solo win. Fuck it. I'm going to go Bloodline.
He doesn't need to win a fucking match.
I want to see him. I want to see him thumb Roman in the face. I want to see him win.
Do you think this is the match that we see Jimmy return?
Not yet.
No, I think this is...
Because we do have Saudi before.
No, you don't think you're right. Actually, maybe there's a beatdown after the match and Jimmy comes in.
Yeah, because we do have the Saudi before we do have Survivor Series.
Yeah, and I reckon I'm going to save The Rock for Netflix, is my theory.
Okay, fair play. Okay, well, last but not least, obviously the match that we've all been looking forward to, the third match in the trilogy. Yes. The end game is upon us. The Hell in a Cell match between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre.
First of all, it's just great to see a Hell in a Cell match that actually feels like it should be a Hell in a Cell match. Yeah. For the first time in ages, it's like, yeah, this has actually escalated to a point where it's like, yeah, these two guys do want to hate each other. This should be a Hell in a Cell match.
The face-to-face in the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
cold.
Lots of weight. And the matches they've had so far have been great. Like, I think, like, I'm not a fan of a a strap match as a concept. I think it's I don't like the way it works, but they made that as good as it could be.
Because
they're both like really good storytellers in the ring. Like Punk's now is like when he was in AEW, he was trying to do a lot of physical things that he just can't do anymore.
Yeah.
So when he kept injuring his knees, trying to do fucking
cut a bolt, clothesline. Yeah.
Can't do any of that shit. No. But now he's got back to what he's good at, and that's storytelling pro wrestling. And Drew is fucking exceptional at that as well. And the match, Drew's a lot bigger, he's a lot stronger. So it's all going to be how can Punk outcraft Drew in there. I think Punk wins it because I think Punk cannot lose his first major feud back in WWE.
Oh, interesting.
But then, and Drew's been such a brilliant dickhead. He'll recover. He'll be fine if he loses to CM. He doesn't lose anything by losing to CM Punk. Like,
What's your thoughts?
I just really want McIntyre to win. Scottish boy, you know what I mean? It is great.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of with Danny with this.
Yeah.
He's built this so well.
I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to win.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't think Punk's going to lose.
You know what I say is the one thing Triple H has done is made me second guess every single prediction I've ever had since he's fully taken over. Like, he does like to go the other way. I actually, you know what? I'm going to say McIntyre's going to win. Punk's going to disappear into a Royal Rumble, and then he's going to win the Royal Rumble. Well,
two predictions for this match. The first is that on the night they changed the match from a Hell in a Cell to a Kennel from Hell match.
Do you
remember the one and only Kennel from Hell match between Al Snow and Big Boss Man?
They put a steel cage
inside a Hell in a Cell, and they had two attack dogs between the two cells.
What?
Which they could not get those dogs to calm down.
No, I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, and they were on leashes. So this was a one-time match. It was fucking awful.
It was the worst thing ever.
I want to see them do that and just have Larry running around.
Larry in a cell.
Just Larry in a cell. That's my one prediction.
That'd be great.
If that doesn't happen, and it fucking should, WWE, if you're not brave enough to book Larry into this match, if Larry doesn't pin Drew McIntyre,
clean.
Imagine if that's the finish.
Just pour.
If Punk puts Drew on Larry's chest,
comes over. I reckon we see AJ. I'm not gonna lie, I do reckon we see AJ
eventually, but maybe not this angle.
No, because AJ has been announced for. You mean Styles?
No, AJ, Lee. His wife.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
April.
Yeah. My bad. I thought you were talking about AJ.
No. I mean, AJ Lee, his wife. I reckon we see her.
She might come out to be like.
I reckon we see her, and then we have a moment, a bit like old school Randy Orton and Stephanie McMahon kind of vibes, like McIntyre's sort of in her face, and then Punk gets irate. Something like maybe. I think we could see.
I'll tell you what, it would be nice to see AJ, especially with the build up with all of this.
And she's been mentioned a lot.
Yeah, she's been mentioned quite a lot, even on Raw, and Drew was like, I'm wearing black for your wife. I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah. If we don't see Larry, I want to see AJ.
Well, I think someone we might see who has brilliantly been written off for a while and made his return this week. Seth Rollins been involved in this match.
In this match, I don't know because he's done the whole Bronson.
Yeah, but he's not forgotten.
He's not forgotten.
Yeah. He can do both at the same time. Like, I think he's got,
that's only Rollins could be like, I'm going to get involved in two feuds. Fuck it, I'm back.
Seth Rollins is all over the show when Seth Rollins is on the show.
Well, I feel like this is a nice standing point to find out what's going to happen into Survivor Series, to be honest with you.
Mm. It's the Survivor Series.
A
you
lot
have
of feuds
survive.
Will probably get ended and into Saudi. There was another return that we haven't spoken about that Danny actually put in our WhatsApp group. Someone's been re-added onto the roster on the WWE website, which is Brock Lesnar.
I've been saying for weeks he was coming.
Which like, makes me feel like Saudi.
Well, generally, in this lawsuit, without touching upon it too much, all he seems to have been named in is receiving some text.
Receiving it and then making a comment about it.
So I'm not... We don't know the ins and outs of it. He could have done something horrible, and we're not going to pretend he hasn't. But if he's being brought back, I imagine they've done some level of investigation and due diligence on this, and he's largely clean.
Yeah.
Or he wouldn't be back.
He wouldn't be back.
So if he's coming back, and it looks like he is, I think I don't know what you do with him. I mean, who are you feeding him to?
Ryback.
I mean, I think we could. Are you
I heard feed him.
Are you pushing for Gunther Lesnar for Mania?
Yeah.
Ooh,
I'd like to see that.
I would like to see that.
Are you going to have Bron Breakker take the belt off Gunther and Bron Breakker Lesnar at Mania?
No, I don't want to see that.
No. I'd like to see Gunther and Brock.
Because Gunther's probably going to defend against Sammy in Saudi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The crowd will be fucking white hot for that.
Yeah, it'll be Saudi.
So I reckon, but Sammy's not winning because Sami Zayn doesn't win a world title.
Yep.
Sami Zayn will win a world title one day, and he fucking well should, and it will be an amazing moment when he does.
It'll be like the Daniel Bryan moment.
Yeah, but this is not the time.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, I don't know where else would I put Brock. I don't know. Like, he doesn't fit in anywhere in the Bloodline. He doesn't fit anywhere.
Well, he kind of fits in the Bloodline.
Cody Rhodes.
Paul Heyman was damaged by the Bloodline, and he's Paul Heyman's guy.
True, actually, yeah. That's a good shot.
He's the only person.
Oh, there we go. If we get a bit of Roman's getting beaten down, you go,
well, Brock and Roman on the same team is an interesting
with Heyman in the middle.
And Cody as well, because that was Brock's last big feud.
So yeah. Honest, fuck Cody off, man. Well, can we have, if it was Brock and Roman with Heyman in the middle, I'd care more.
I would get Cody out of the Bloodline stuff anyway, because it doesn't need the title, and Cody needs, he's done with it. He even said himself, I'm done with this.
Well, when he said I was like, I'm actually interested now, because he's actually going, oh, fuck this. You should have left Roman. But, he's like, the fact that was, it was,
but then they did that face to face at the stadium, and now for some reason, I want to see Cody Roman again, which I never thought would be possible, but now I'm like, oh,
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
It has to happen.
Yeah, it does have to. I don't mind seeing that match again. I just don't. Vegas, man.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's Roman Reigns that's going to win Royal Rumble.
Do you reckon he's entering number one and eliminates everyone?
Well, he does.
The tribal chief just like, what?
He's going to Brock Lesnar his way for the Rumble.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to see Roman come in at one and just wipe everyone out. I'm not going to lie. I'd do a shot every time Roman eliminates someone. It'd be class.
No, I reckon the guy getting all the eliminations, Bron Breakker's the eliminations guy of the show.
Yeah, Bron Breakker.
I'd like to see it. But if we're going to have one year where someone actually eliminates 29 people, I do want to see it be Roman Reigns. Like, everyone's just like out for the whole Rumble. I would see it.
So are you saying CM Punk?
I'm saying CM Punk.
And you're saying?
McIntyre.
You're saying McIntyre.
Yeah.
Well, if you agree with our predictions, please do let us know. Let us know your thoughts. Please do send us some messages. Get us know on Instagram what you think is going to happen, especially post Bad Blood. Well, we are now going to get into our main event for this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, in between. Let's get into it. So, for those of you who do not know what's been going on recently, where have you been? Netflix has released a WWE/wrestling documentary, which is entitled Mr. McMahon. If you don't know, Vince McMahon and Where Have You Been is arguably the biggest promoter in professional wrestling history. He has been accused of sexual misconduct on multiple occasions, and this Mr. McMahon's character is conveyed as a power-hungry boss who will do anything and whatever it takes to stay on top. And the argument with this documentary is whether we figure out who the real Vince McMahon is. Is he really Mr. McMahon, or is he just a character? And there's obviously some allegations that's happened, some steroids use, there's the trials that happen, how he portrays women throughout the company, especially on TV. The XFL, people, XFL. And we obviously have had this documentary over 6 episodes, which I will argue was too long.
I quite
liked it.
Let's first, the main takeaway from this whole documentary, let's face it, is Vince McMahon likes to fuck. He mentioned that so often that he was sexual.
I'm sexually active.
Every interview he did with anyone, where it was from on that part of that documentary or other ones they cut to, it was him going, I fuck. I like to fuck. I'm thinking about sex right now. I'm thinking about sexual things right now. I am Vince McMahon. So, you know, it makes it all, these allegations, a lot more believable. The second thing I think it is important to point out, this doc, like, and the people that will listen to this podcast will largely be quite hardcore wrestling fans, and we are as well. This documentary wasn't for us.
It wasn't for us.
This was all stuff we kind of already knew, and it was nice to see some perspectives on it. But if you want to watch something that goes into it deeper, Dark Side of the Ring hits a lot of these issues and a lot more issues way deeper and way more interestingly than this documentary. But I think for a casual person coming in, because I've got mates who have texted me who are not wrestling fans, going, oh, this is crazy, all this stuff. It's like, so it is, it's landing for people.
I think we have briefly mentioned this last week, that how I think because this was documentary started before the allegations came out, Netflix kind of were like, oh, we've sat on some gold now.
I was interested in seeing the edit of that.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell that they knew. And it was, that's what I was quite interested in seeing when I was watching it. Like, Gov, you said with your mates messaging, like, my TikTok is hilarious of just people who aren't wrestling fans reacting to it. Like, it's like as a hardcore wrestling fan to look at that and be like, yeah. Because again, like, obviously I'm a bit younger, like, there were some things I didn't know.
Probably like the Ring Boy scandal.
Yep, I had no idea about the Ring Boy scandal.
The Ring Boy scandal's crazy.
Yeah,
like, I didn't know about that. There was a few little bits as well, like some storylines I didn't know of, like with the Linda McMahon in a wheelchair. I didn't know that
storyline. We've referenced Linda McMahon on the getting out of the wheelchair.
Yeah, I know,
so getting out, often.
But I didn't know that that's what he was doing. Like, oh, right, you know what I mean? I didn't, because I haven't seen it like properly. Like, I'd heard of bits, so it was weird to see some storylines like that and hearing wrestlers talk about it and hearing some of the, like, the, obviously we're going to get into a loads of different stuff with this, but hearing Vince say out his mouth, I was going to impregnate Stephanie as a storyline. Like, I'd heard of that, but hearing it from his mouth, I was like, this guy's not well. Like, yeah. What the fuck?
You know, it's like, just because every sort of attractive female superstar they ever, he booked himself to make out with them.
Yeah.
At
there
least
was no
once.
Way it's not
every
creepy.
Every single Stacey Keibler, Sable, Trish Stratus.
Like, you get this power dynamic thing in so many different places. Like, it happens in comedy too. Like, you see some weird promoters and the only female comics on are like, you're typically like good looking. And it's like, they're not even necessarily that funny, but they're getting, and you're like, and you know the promoters are a bit weird and you're like, it happens everywhere. So there's no way you can convince me he was like, it was a character. I'm like, why didn't you kiss Nia Jackson, bro? Yeah. Like, why are you not doing that? Why are you not? It was always those like stereotypical, like, what was it? Which wrestler was it that was had only done modeling? And they mentioned that it was Trish Stratus
wasn't the, but to where, be fair, like, she worked really hard,
but like, it's hilarious that she got that opportunity.
But that was crazy.
That's
what it was back then. Yeah, like, the women's revolution has, like, it's been such a it's come such a long way in such a short time. Because women's wrestling wasn't really treated seriously anywhere really except Japan, and until 15 years ago.
Even in the documentary, him being like, I can't remember the woman's name from the top of my head, was being like, oh, she's a problem. We need to get this belt off of her.
Oh, Wendy Richter. Yeah, that's it.
Just being like, we need to get this belt off her. She's a problem. Business. Yes, yes. Mm. And I think the take from me from this documentary, which is something that I've always kind of known as a wrestling fan, is that Vince will do anything for the business that he thinks is reasonable.
And for sex.
And for his own personal gain, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Right. Like, what I loved the most was him saying, I'm not the Vince McMahon character. Cut to every single interview and every single person going, oh no, he is the Vince McMahon character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, obviously it's him, the volume turned up, but he is real. And I mean, we can't, I imagine, for legal reasons, comment on whether or not we think these allegations are true or whatever, because I'd imagine not. I think we can say what we think, but we have to be very careful to say
what
we think.
In my opinion... Allegedly, if you say those two things, I think you're safe.
I would have liked to have seen some more people interviewed that would be a bit more dissenting, because they had, like, you look at the people they had. It was Cena, Taker, Rock.
Yeah,
they're all such company men.
Yeah,
Bret Hart's the only one who's a bit of an outlier, but even he now, he knows.
You know, and they went through him, or they all said, like, he's a father figure to me. Like, yeah,
well, I think only Bret and Tony Atlas were the only ones really on this documentary who were very much like honest about certain things.
Well, Tony Atlas was a bit too honest at the beginning of the documentary. I don't know if you clicked on. We abused loads of women back then.
They were like a toy to us, and then it just skipped to the next
also,
bit.
I was
like,
sorry.
Where's the investigation into him? He's just said it. Yeah. Like, is there nothing?
Like, there was no, like, follow-up to that at all.
No.
They didn't even, why put it in if you're not going to mention it? The other one, the live other line of that was Vince going, talking about the rape allegation from the referee.
Yeah.
And then going, basically, oh, yeah, but the statute of limitations would have been up anyway, so why is anyone coming after me? It's like, you basically just admitted you did it.
And also, didn't he say at one point, I don't remember that. And you're like, that's your defense, is it? Mm. I don't remember. What the
There was a lot of things he doesn't remember.
Yeah, he's like, oh, God knows.
Well, the amount of times he'd say, well, I don't think anyone would say that. And then they'd be like, well, Bruce said that. Or, yeah, Shane said that.
Yeah, he's just going,
it's like, oh, did they? Okay.
Like, sure. All right. Yeah.
Well, let's get into some of the things from the documentary. I think I'm going to start off by talking about something that I thought was quite interesting from a wrestling fan who knew a lot of the stuff that was in the documentary. Mm. The thing that I kind of came out of this documentary was about father-son relationship.
Yes. I wanted to talk about this, actually.
Because obviously they talked about that Vince didn't meet his father till he was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Obviously he took over WWF, aka WWE, built it up into the business that it is today. And primarily it kind of felt like Shane McMahon, especially from the Attitude Era, was going to be the person taking over this company.
A little bit sorry for him, you know.
And then you do feel like You do see it on like in TV that how he wanted his Vince's approval. He was obviously intended to be the next Big Mac man, and even the story about the UFC that he wanted to buy UFC, and Vince was like, "You buy it with your own money, then. Like, I'm not buying it for you. You buy it with your own money."
Which I kind of respect a little bit.
And also, to be fair, if the McMahons had bought UFC, they would have fucked it. Yeah. Because the only business that Vince McMahon knows how to run is a wrestling business.
And American
it's proven
football.
Every XFL, it's proven every World Bodybuilding Federation, every making WWE movie studios, WWE New York.
That Hulk Hogan movie, that looked good.
Every single business venture that Vince McMahon has attempted, other than directly related to wrestling, has failed spectacularly. So Shane McMahon, on the other hand, has actually gone and ran successful businesses, sports agencies, content makers. Shane's a very successful guy. He has a lot of businesses based out in China and places like that.
And if the rumours are true about something recently.
AEW, he's sliding in there.
He's not going to AEW.
I'd love it, though. I'd be interested, though.
Imagine.
It'd be such a smart signing from AEW. I know we're on the documentary, but like, I've watched more.
I would.
I'm not going to lie as well. Like, so when Shane came back, obviously, like the most recent, and he had that whole little run, I hated him. Like, I was so bored.
But he was just a wrestler, basically.
Yeah, it was just shit. And it was like running raw. I didn't like any of that. Watching this, though, genuinely, I was just like, oh, God damn, I respect. I think I'd like Shane McMahon.
He comes across as
God.
He comes across, and a couple of in the documentary, he's a really nice guy.
And everyone says it on there, too. Like, I just believe he's sound.
And you contrast the way that Vince's dad acted with Vince, now Vince acted with Shane, and you watch Shane with his kids.
Yeah.
He's so like nice and loving, and physically, you could see how physically attentive he is to them.
Like, I remember the match that he had, and he was like straight after to his kids, and like, you could see him looking at his kids during the match. You could see that he wanted them to be proud of him.
He brought them out, and they're all
He does not want the relationship with his kids that he has with his dad, or his dad had with his dad.
Respect everyone with toxic dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, I respect it, man. I respect
it. It must have
break
been
the cycle, Shane.
Yeah,
break the cycle.
But it also must have been really difficult to be brought up by Vince McMahon. A person who technically probably wasn't really around that much.
Chose a business over him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Like, it's just a lot. It was an awful lot to watch. And
also provided him with a very nice lifestyle, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is it. You hear it a lot, though, don't you? Though, there's a lot of people who grow up really privileged who end up the most lonely and depressed. Like, all the money. This sounds so preachy, but like, money doesn't buy happiness, does it? And you can tell that, like, people who grew up with nothing have the most riches in love and that. And he doesn't. Yeah, he clearly didn't have that. And you could see it in the documentary. He's trying to talk about his dad, and he's like, "What? He just did all of this for years to get a hug." And you're like, breaks your heart. So, genuinely, yeah. You're like,
didn't
bless
you
your heart, man.
Hug this guy. I don't think.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He got fucking whacked with a kendo stick and fell off. I'd hug him after that, bro. But like, fair play, man. Like,
also, I just get from Shane's demeanor and the way he's interviewed now. I think for a long time he was hurt, but I think now that he's stepped away from the rest, I think he's happier, and I think he's realised he's happier, and he focuses on his own family. But like, there was nothing in there now about like him wanting it. Like, when they asked him about it, he doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah, he was. Because he was saying, when he was like, "I'm glad Triple H and Stephanie got it." He was like, "I knew that was going to happen."
It genuinely doesn't seem like he resents it. He's just. I think there probably was a time when he did. I think he did say he did, but I think it's like he looks happier. He looks healthier.
Because technically, it would have been his next lineage, in the lineage it would have been his. The story that obviously. Paul Heyman tells about the Shane and Vince fight is obviously
class.
To be honest, the person who's going to tell it the best, Paul Heyman.
I must say, Paul Heyman should have been in the documentary much sooner than he was. Like, did he come in at like episode four? I thought, what are you doing, mate? Bring him in at the start. And did you notice at one of the moments they asked Vince a question, and in the background you can hear Paul. He says something like, "You got to answer it honestly." Like that. I was like, is he just in the background of all the interviews, just like little comments? I want a mic on him at all times.
I love Heyman's relationship with Vince. It's really interesting. He's the only one that just never took any shit from Vince McMahon. Like, he got fired after the ECW thing because basically he was like, "Oh, fuck you. If I can't do it my way, I'm leaving." When he ran SmackDown, he had the same thing there. When he ran ECW, it was like, he seemed to be allowed to push back at Vince McMahon more than anybody else. Because Vince even said, and I think it's the only person he said about it in the entire documentary, that he respected Paul Heyman as a promoter. And like, I was amazed that he said that, because he didn't say, I don't think he said he respected anybody else.
Not even Bischoff.
He hates Eric Bischoff, even though he hired him.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That's a bit I enjoyed for it, because obviously I didn't grow up in that Bischoff era. I know a lot about it, of course. I've rewatched and like gone back and been like, oh, this is awesome. But to really watch how that was happening through like the news and like things and like figures and like when they're spiking. I was like, this is actually really, and seeing Bischoff go, yeah, well, we're going to fucking do this. And I was like, actually, this is class.
I'll tell you, the whole WCW feud, there was a couple of things about that that I actually didn't really, well, one thing I didn't really know is that it actually was 2.4 million. And I was like, yeah. Shut up, it wasn't that low. Someone told me this before, I was like, can't be that low. They actually said it in the documentary. 2.4 million is nothing, really.
Well, if you think about a company.
They also wrote off a lot of debt, so it's not like they just paid 2.4 million. there's a lot of factors in the contracts that they had to pay out and stuff like that. That's why you didn't see, well, they were also on Turner contracts. Most of the big names in talent weren't contracted to WCW,
no.
They were contracted to Turner. So your Goldbergs, your Stings, the ones that didn't come to WWE straight away, because they just sat at home on $2 million a year deals, going, well, why would I come work for you for less money when I can sit here and do literally nothing?
That was interesting because obviously I always get surprised when I see Hulk Hogan get as much airtime as he gets, considering his past as well. Like, I'm just not a fan of that, man.
I mean, to be fair, though, tell that story without interviewing Hulk Hogan is quite...
It's quite so much. And I get it, like, because obviously when you saw that, like, he left and then sort of screwed Vince and went to WC. I of course, you got to tell that, but just getting his opinion on anything, I was a bit like...
Well, this is the other thing about WCW was about the I can never say words.
Hypocrisy.
Thank you. Hypocrisy. Thank you very much. You know she can't say words.
Dictionary corner over.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The boy from Kent.
Obviously, at the start...
Susie Kent. Countdown jokes for the pod.
That was class. I'm sorry. That was fucking
It was... What's it called? Vince McMahon taking wrestlers from different regions to start a company.
Like I mentioned that.
Yeah.
As well,
and then as soon as WCW starts doing it, he's like, why are you doing that? It's like you're taking the same thing.
He genuinely did not see them as the same. Because he said, I didn't do it maliciously. Eric Bischoff did it maliciously. Mm. And I think Eric Bischoff's goal wasn't to run WWE out of business. It was to beat WWE. He wasn't trying to run them out of
competition.
As he said, if they went out of business, fine. But that's not the goal.
So it's happening now with AEW and them. Like, it's just healthy competition. WWE superstars, AEW will take them.
And we all saw, and it was obviously mentioned within the documentary, that as soon as the competition was gone,
That's when it slipped.
It slipped. Like, no one gave up. No one cared.
That's the same with everything, though, isn't it? If there's no competition and no, like, drive, you're going to slip, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
If you're the only female comic and you had no, like, you would probably start getting complacent. Like, it's the fight in anything, isn't it?
The other thing I find interesting about this documentary was obviously we did mention that certain people, wrestlers-wise, were in the documentary. What is it like to see more other, probably non-biased, if you want to put it that way?
I would love to see someone like, interview someone like Raven, who's got no skin in the game, and then could just come in and, because he won't give a shit. It's like, you don't want anyone who's too crazy.
JR. Yeah.
But like someone,
what about JR in that?
JR knows.
JR was in the trailer.
Was he?
JR was in the trailer.
I reckon he was in it and they cut him out. Because I don't remember seeing him.
Are you sure he was in the trailer?
I'm going to watch this again.
Yeah.
I'll watch it again after this. But
I'm wondering if the Netflix deal has made them take out some people that maybe worked for AEW.
I swear to God he was in the trailer because I remember watching it being like, oh my God, JR's in the trailer.
Yeah, because I feel it's a crying shame that he weren't. Would have liked to see Punk in it.
I think at the time they started filming.
There was no way
CM Punk was going
to... I just reckon that
I bet you CM Punk would have fucking done it.
Oh, I imagine.
And then he would have never been back.
What I want to see is on YouTube, like, who is it that does YouTube videos now? The bald guy. Not Maven?
Is it Maven Huffman?
Is it Maven? I think he does YouTube videos, right? Mm. I want to see him do his own YouTube documentary about it.
He's a bit of an ass kisser, though.
I want to see a wrestler, fucking Matt Cardona. I want to see someone do their own version of it and go, I'm going to interview my mates and be like, what do you reckon?
What you need is someone that has got enough money, they're never going to want or need to go back to that company, or their bridges are so burned, they're never going back anyway.
Who would you choose?
Someone like Raven, who can talk well.
Raven's YouTube channel.
He's really smart.
Please like, subscribe. Please.
He was there in the early 90s. He was there in the early 2000s. He was in WCW during the wars. He went everywhere. Like, he saw it as, he was a manager in WWE, he was a wrestler in WWE. Yeah. He managed Adam Bomb.
Not to be confused with Adam Bloom.
Another thing I thought was very interesting from this documentary was Phil Mushnick getting as much airtime as he did within this documentary.
First of all, Phil Muchnick clearly has a vendetta against WWE. Like he probably doesn't like wrestling and he doesn't want it to be a thing. And he seems to be taking them. I'm not saying that they weren't doing unethical things, because they were, but he was really obsessed with it to a level that a journalist is almost, you'd be doubting his integrity as a journalist as for how obsessed. Like he kept like leaking, feeding information to the FBI and shit. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I know, that was interesting to the FBI.
But again, interesting to give him so much time in the doc, but then like there's views in it.
I suppose that was the one massive dissenting voice they had in the entire thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then it almost, I reckon what they were trying to do when they first started documentary was like, right, we need him in to paint him as a villain.
Yeah.
He kept going off. And then as soon as the allegation, when they're like, you know what we've actually got here is two sides of a coin that's interesting on both sides. Yeah. And Phil's there like, yeah, I always hated him. I always knew this. And it's like the steroid stuff as well. Like he was on it. You got to respect the hustle, man.
The steroid stuff was really interesting, I think, because not one person.
The Benoit stuff as well.
Yeah. Well,
we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah. The steroid stuff was really interesting because not one person in that documentary, Brett or anyone, said that Vince ever told them to take steroids.
Yeah.
And they whether they're just towing a line, but every single, Hogan included, every single one of them was like, no, I've no, Vince never told anyone to take steroids.
Hogan said that Vince was the one to tell him on TV, to go on TV and say, just admit that you take steroids. That would be in better.
That was interesting, because that was the one point where actually I was like, oh, Vince is actually fine. In that, obviously he might have been doing, backstage other stuff, but In that regard, like, I didn't know that about the court case with Hogan, because didn't they say as well, really washed over it, they were like, they had more stuff on Hogan.
Yeah.
And if he did this, they'd wipe it away. And I was like, hang on, what's the other stuff? What is this?
What's crazy as well is like it's so pro wrestling at the trial, because they go in, Hogan's supposed to testify against Vince, and he goes in and just backs Vince.
Yeah.
And he was working for WCW at the time, and everyone was like, surely Hogan's going to... But no,
he basically
fucking
Seth Rollins chaired the fucking police.
Well, is it a heel turn? Is it a face turn? I guess it depends who you are. but it was a turn, and it was like, even in a court case, it had to be like, you're a good brother.
No, that don't
work for me, brother.
Yeah. You don't tell me to do anything, brother. I'm a Hulkamate. Rips off his suit.
But I think that kind of comes out with certain things. Like, we're talking about certain wrestlers that are doing, who did the podcast. Please do the podcast. Certain wrestlers did the documentary. Right. There is a level of loyalty to Vince McMahon. And I don't know if it's because of the fact that Vince McMahon has put them into position that they are today, has given them opportunity. The reason why they're there today is because of Vince McMahon, or just because they respect him as a businessman. But there is a level of loyalty to Vince McMahon. You saw that from Shawn, you saw that from Hulk, you saw that from Undertaker. Rock. I think we've all known that Undertaker has been ride or die.
The Rock. The
Rock.
The thing is, I think they all appreciate that.
Even Stone Cold.
Yeah, whatever Vince McMahon's faults are, they are not multi-millionaires, and they are not... The Rock is not a Hollywood movie star without the WWE and without Vince McMahon. Stone Cold Steve Austin isn't a millionaire living on a ranch in Texas. The Undertaker isn't, you know, one of the greatest of all time. John Cena isn't a movie star now. And none of them are that without Vince McMahon. But
just the way that you said it, John Cena isn't a movie star.
John Cena is a movie star. I love you, John.
Yeah, Peacemaker.
Yeah. Peacemaker. Oh, Peacemaker was great. That is the only opening sequence of a TV show I never skipped.
Yeah. It's brilliant. It's so good.
I wanted them to do a Rumble spot where he came out dressed as Peacemaker. And a few people did the dance together, like R-Truth or something, you know. But anyway, we've fallen off topic. But it was great. You've not seen Peacemaker? Watch Peacemaker.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a great series. But yeah, what was I about? Yes. But I think it was quite glaring. They clearly only all did one round of interviews. Mm. Not one of them came back with anything that was shot after the allegation.
Yeah.
Because Rock's not tying his name to that. Cena's not tying his name to that.
They were in it very sparse, weren't they?
Because they only had one interview with him because they didn't come back for the other ones. Whereas Bruce Pritchard, because he'll stand up for Vince no matter what, he's back for the second round of interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they asked him, what do you think of it? And he's like, well, I think you painted them in the wrong light.
You're doing a hit job, Bruce is so loyal to Vince McMahon to a level that's weird.
Mm. Yeah. I actually didn't realise...
Why?
I didn't realise how much in the company he was. Same with actually Triple H. Mm. One thing I didn't realise from this documentary, I think we all knew about the Click situation. If you're a wrestling fan, you obviously know about the Click situation. I didn't know, however, how deep he was within backstage stuff, especially in regards to this Montreal Screwjob.
Well, him and Shawn were, you know.
Well, I didn't know that either. I didn't know that
he knew.
Like, yeah.
Triple H was like, well, fuck him.
Yeah, I found that out in the documentary because I thought no one did know. Well, and I actually thought that Sean didn't know.
Like, I knew that Sean.
Like, I kind of, like, for me, it was like, I'd, yeah, 50, I weren't sure if he might have known. But yeah, to be like, we all got told to say nothing. Yeah. I was like,
well, Sean knew, Earl Hebner knew.
Yeah, of course.
But I didn't realise Triple H was involved.
He said that he was the one that actually said the phone call, just make him do it. He probably not necessarily meant it in the way it happened, but like, yeah. If you want to know more about the Montreal Screwjob, you've not seen it, watch a documentary called Wrestling with Shadows. They follow Bret Hart around.
Is that on YouTube, is it?
I don't know if it is. Probably is somewhere. But they were doing this documentary that was just following Bret Hart around wrestling. They just got lucky in this year they were following him around. It's when he decided to leave the company and when the Montreal. So there's loads of backstage footage of them talking. There's a scene in the documentary where Bret turns to Sean and says, Did you know? And Sean says, I swear I didn't. That's from Wrestling with Shadows. And there's a lot more of that in there. That goes, if you want to know more about it, that goes way more in depth. And it's so.
To be fair, I don't actually watch it before. I'm gonna add that to my list.
What was crazy was the reactions to it. Because, like, in real life as well, they didn't really touch on this in the documentary, but you had The Undertaker, apparently, they had like a big sit down meeting with Vince, came out and said to Sean, we're cool. And that was it, because Vince convinced him that this had to be done. And, you know, Mick Foley refused to come to work the next day.
Oh, really?
Mick Foley, like, didn't come to Raw the next day.
Is this all in the documentary, is it?
This is not a documentary. Mick Foley said this himself. He refused to come. That, by the way, glaring omission. Interesting, not interviewed for the documentary.
I would also say, touching on that, the mention about the Undertaker's streak as well.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed the back scene of hearing Undertaker talk about it properly.
Although that was Vince being nuts when he was like, he's claimed that Undertaker didn't have a concussion, and the reason he can't remember the match is because it was too traumatic.
No.
He was concussed. That's why he could not remember the match.
I think we all saw it.
Yeah, yeah, like, you see when he slams his head. Yeah.
You could see it in the match.
You went with him to the hospital. Why did you go to the hospital if he wasn't
for
concussed?
Trauma, PTSD.
He's too sad about losing the fake streak that he has.
On the topic of concussions, do you want to talk about the other wrestler?
Should we get into it?
Yeah. So
we've never done Ben.
That was a really nice segue. I'm not gonna lie. I should pat myself on the back for that.
Yourself on the back of it. Yeah, because obviously WWE have tried to. Well, I will say two things. Well, it will lead into this. The Owen situation.
Oh yeah.
Owen Hart, RIP, and Benoit is both situations where Vince McMahon had made a call. We're going to carry on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. The show will go on.
I will argue that the Owen one was a bit of an insight into some, obviously, because what you got to understand is this is a Netflix documentary. They're going to dramatize some things. And one of the things they did say, which kind of rubbed me a little bit, because I was a bit like, they were slating Vince and WWE for carrying on the pay-per-view, which I think we can all agree, like, it probably should have stopped, of course, morally. But one of the things they said was they were literally wrestling in his blood.
Yeah.
And they weren't, because there was a brood match before.
Yeah.
And there's a picture that went around online. You could see where that blood splatter was, and Netflix zoomed in on that as if.
Yeah.
And I was like, because what you've done there is Netflix, shame on you, Netflix, fuck you, man. Like, you can't slate someone for being disrespectful to someone's death, and then you rewrite someone's death to add a bit more hatred towards the company. Like, hang on, if you're going to do it, fucking stick to the facts.
Stick to the facts.
That's not fair. Like, they didn't wrestle in his blood. Like, that is sickening.
Yeah.
And a disrespect to Owen Hart, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think we all agree, they should have fucking stopped. Yeah.
Show should have absolutely
stopped. Of course. And for him to go, if it was me, I'd want him to carry on. You're saying that on reflection, bro. Like, if I died on the pod and you carried on the episode. Actually, no, maybe I would do it. Can you just clip it? Just clip it. Hashtag rest in peace. Yeah,
I think it is,
you know what I mean? Like, I think that pissed me off a little bit.
I think the only thing they were at fault at was carrying on the show, because the blood thing didn't happen. And as covered in the documentary, they were found to not be at fault for what happened with the harness. You could argue whether making him do it when apparently he didn't really want to is.
But that's a stunt.
So yeah, that was one of the things in the documentary where it was a bit like, you're not really telling the story correctly.
And it's
already bad enough. You don't need to egg it on. So that was a bit of a shame, as you pointed out.
However, was it Jeff Jarrett's promo where he's like, Rest in peace to Owen. But anyway, I was a bit like, oh, dude, how are you doing that?
I don't know how.
They were really tight as well, because they were traveling together at the time, because they were tag champs.
They were more or less best friends.
I felt for everyone there, because I haven't watched really much of that.
I actually watched that, you know, I've not been sleeping. So I've talked about this on the podcast. I've been going back watching pay-per-views.
Is that on the WWE Network?
It's on the WWE Network.
What did they do at that point? Did they mention anything?
I couldn't do it to myself.
So you didn't get to that point?
I couldn't get to that point. I got halfway through the pay-per-view and I was like, I know what's coming, I can't do it.
I'd be interested to see if it's still on the network.
I definitely have the last match on it. The last match is on it.
I remember when it happened, like, because what year would have that been?
98.
98. I remember being told it when I was like into wrestling, maybe around the time of Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And it was on YouTube. This was back in like when early days of YouTube, where like shit like that was just on there, because there was no film. And I remember like watching it as a kid.
There's quite a few wrestlers in ring deaths on YouTube, which is actually quite sad.
Stop searching for that.
No, it's because
I was a curious kid.
No, I was actually looking at something about Rey Mysterio and
the 619 situation.
Yeah, that popped up.
That's a shame.
But going back to the documentary, they do obviously mention a name that a lot of people have been avoiding for a very long time, which is Benoit.
Which brings us to our next segment: top five Chris Benoit matches. Here we go.
I was going to say something really horrible, and I'm not going to. I'm sorry.
I don't know what you're going to say.
No,
that evil comedian side break him out, and I didn't bite it.
Well done.
But it was there, and if you fill in the blank.
You know who I always felt for in the Chris Benoit tragedy was the band Our Lady Peace, who wrote and sang his theme song. You're a good band, by the way. Check out Our Lady Peace. Really good songs.
Great theme tune.
It's a banger.
It's incredible. God. Imagine after that, they're like, should we not sing it anymore?
I don't think they play it live anymore. No. I'm sorry.
I'm laughing because it's awkward.
Batista's ones are right, though. That's still fine.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I was almost a bit props to them mentioning him. Mm. Like, it is a tricky situation, like, to discuss, but there is a little bit of art and artist, and also I do believe there are some questions around the incident there too, if I'm honest. Okay, I've gone into deep dives of that whole situation. I don't know. Like, there's a lot. That's a whole extra thing. And I'm sure if anyone has ever gone into a rabbit hole of the Benoit situation, you'd know. There are some points and marks on it where you're a bit like, it doesn't feel right.
None of us are doctors.
No.
So we'll caveat that straight away.
The concussion thing, I thought, was really interesting. One of the positives to come out of the documentary, I think, is having that guy, can't remember his name, but like,
Lipsky.
Yeah, who like researched it and found it, and Vince, you know, did make the changes, and you could tell because they did take out some of the moves. I love hearing a taker just go, fucking hated that they stopped me hitting people with my mates in the head with chairs. I love that. I was like, you know what, taker, respect you, Mark Calloway. Respect.
I think basically whatever you think of the CTE thing, I personally think CTE is a real thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it diminishes your capabilities to the degree that it excuses anything Chris Benoit did. Whether or not how seriously he was brain damaged or not.
And also, you can't blame just him doing a diving headbutt. I'm sorry.
Diving headbutt is a safe move.
Of course it's a safe move. I love the fact he was like, oh, it was a diving... Well, that explains all the head hits.
It's the fucking bumps he takes on his head and the fucking chair shots. Yeah. That's what's done him in.
Yeah.
And like, did you see any spot of him getting like German suplexed and shit? Like, come on. There's so many other... Him doing a diving headbutt and he tends to land like on his hands first or on their shoulder or something. Give over.
But Benoit's situation aside, basically, I think we all think it's a good thing that wrestlers are getting less concussions now because they're taking and there's better. And this is not just wrestling, by the way. This is across all professional sports, like Chris Stavisky talked about the NFL and the NHL. Any big contact, rugby is in this country is the big one. Any contact sport now needs to have to be so much more careful because there are long term effects of this that we didn't previously know about because people were not old enough to be seeing them regularly.
Obviously, in science and technology has evolved since then as well.
That's brilliant.
I think that most people, especially wrestling fans coming into this documentary, was probably looking forward to getting some dirt, some gossip about these recent allegations. And unfortunately, we got no tea.
Well, the problem is it's an ongoing court case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, the criminal case has been So the criminal case is happening now. Mm. That means the lawsuit's actually been paused. So you have to get through a criminal case, which they can't prejudice us on a documentary for obvious reasons. So they can't mention much about it. And then you have to get through that. And then you have to get through the civil case. So basically, there's not going to be any real content made about this with any real vigor until all of that settled and done. Otherwise, you're opening yourself up to so many lawsuits.
Well, considering that he basically snitched on himself throughout this documentary.
Yeah, the statute of limitations thing was genuinely nuts. That was crazy.
Yeah. Well, the question I want to ask you as we end this podcast, and this is the title of the podcast.
It's good to know.
Did Vince screw Vince?
I think Vince screwed everybody. That was the... the takeaway I've got from the documentary, referees...
Should be called, who screwed Vince?
You know who he didn't screw apparently that often? Linda seems to be the only person he was. Why is right a storyline where he screwed Steph, but he won't fuck his wife?
Wrestle Club Podcast! That's the end.
Wrestlers, referees, everyone allegedly got fucked by Vince.
Allegedly, yeah.
There's some rumours about some other experiences.
Rikishi, yeah, he bummed Rikishi. He bummed Rikishi, Funaki, he had them all. Eugene.
Bret Hart once implied that him and Shawn Michaels were at it.
Yeah,
in an interview, but Bret has softened on that stance. Yeah.
We all know from the get go that Bret and Shawn did not get on.
But they're all right now. They're friends. Ring Boys. It's interesting. I'm glad they touched on it because it's one that doesn't get talked about.
Did Vince screw Vince?
Ultimately, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you should be held accountable for your own actions, man.
Vince McMahon would have been running that company until the day he died if these allegations didn't come out.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he grew that moustache. And I cannot...
The Walt Disney moustache?
When he's been like signing on to the Endeavor Board, when they make the announcement, he's got that moustache. And the hair's like dyed like... Yep. You know when...
TKO.
It was when Rudy Giuliani had that hair dye that ran. Yeah. It was just that sort of thing. If it had rained on Vince McMahon, it all would have gone... It's like, what point... This is the point in my life where now...
I need a moustache.
I'm going to go for the moustache. Yep. And we touched on it on the podcast.
We did. One of my favourite clips, actually, to be fair. Yeah. That when I'm sad, I sometimes watch that before I go to bed. It's so good, because I remember catching me fully off guard.
Yeah.
I can't believe there must be someone in his life who went, no, Vince.
Well, it's a bit like when Triple H did it, ain't it?
No, well, his little handlebar.
Triple H did it.
When he had his like really straight hair in the handlebar, that was a bad look.
It was not a good era. But that was the beginning of, what was it, Evolution?
Evolution, yeah.
Oh, Evolution was great, but not the handlebar.
But yeah, I reckon he screwed Vince. Do you reckon? What's your take on it?
I do think power took over his initial control, if you want to put it that way.
Mm.
And I feel like Vince McMahon as a character is probably a big exaggeration of who he is as a person. But I feel like this documentary has highlighted that business will always be his priority. He will do whatever it takes to be on top of that business. So,
and on top of every woman who works.
Yeah, that was right there. That was, I heard it as well. I was like, I could hear it. Listen, I think he's a horrible
Let us know your thoughts on the podcast. Well, let us know your thoughts about the documentary.
Let us know about the podcast.
Let us know your thoughts about the documentary.
Also, you know, just because it was featured quite heavily in the documentary, shout out Steph at Man for aging very gracefully.
I also got a lovely voice note from Ibs. I do believe his whole take on the podcast was, and I'm going to do my best Ibs impression here. Nah, Stephanie McMahon is a sexy girl. That's what he said. That was his whole take.
That's the whole take from the documentary.
That's why he's not here to talk about it.
She have bunda?
Yes, she had the bunda.
Unfortunately, the other boys couldn't join us. I do have a little something from Richard. I should actually give him a shout out. Richard said, not that interesting if you're a wrestling fan. If not, then you'll learn some stuff. The tone of the show was very much a non-wrestling fan's explaining terms and stuff. It puts a line under old WWE and goes that was then and now it's bigger than ever. And see you on Netflix.
There you go.
Well, yeah.
Pretty much what we said as well.
Yeah, basically.
Richard. Thank you, man.
Thank you. We will see you on Netflix.
Shout out Donald Trump on the documentary too.
Go away.
Next president of the United States.
Yep.
Or so we hope.
Ah. Well, let us know your thoughts and feelings about...
Oh, what is it?
That's how we ended the podcast. That's how we ended this episode. Yeah,
pro-Trump. Pro-Trump closer.
No, we're not pro-Trump.
We are a black female-fronted podcast. I mean, we are also... Pro Donald Trump.
You
It's me and Mark.
Vote for Harris. Vote for Harris, American fans.
Or Trump. Up to you, democracy.
Please do let us know your
someone else. There are other candidates, I think.
Who's the other one?
I don't
piss off. Do let us know.
Vince McMahon.
Joe Exotic, he ran once.
Tiger King.
Yeah. He'll never let me end this.
Speaking of Tiger King, nice to print.
Please let us know your thoughts and feelings on the documentary. Please do like and subscribe on this podcast. This has been the Wrestle Club UK podcast. We'll see you next week. I have obviously been joined this week by Danny Scott.
Bye. Love you. Mwah.
And Mark Cram.
It's been a pleasure.
And as always, I've been Sakisa. We'll see you next week.
Show me your nails before you go. Look at these. Oi, come on.
Wrestle Club podcast.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!